Hi, I would like to thank the Hewanuk Drum for coming and doing such a powerful welcome song and opening song for us. It's good to see so many people here today on this rainy day. Today is Prison Justice Day, and it's the day where we gather to remember all the men and women who've died inside of Canadian prisons. It's a day that prisoners across the country are fasting and refusing to work, and it's a day that we also take to focus on the issues that face prisoners every day of their lives and to build a network of support and solidarity around those issues. We gather here at the Claire Culhane Memorial Bench. Claire Culhane was a prisoners' rights activist for many decades. She traveled the country visiting prisoners in any prison. She saw anybody who wanted to see her, and she helped anybody who asked. So she and her work meant a lot to the prisoners on the inside. On the outside, it meant a lot to us as she mentored many of us and taught us a lot about what it means to work in solidarity with prisoners. And I would like to acknowledge that we're here on Coast Salish territory. It's unceded territory, and that it feels really, really good to be here and to be welcomed here. For the day itself, Prison Justice Day was started by prisoners in Canada. It was started in 1976 as a National Day of Remembrance. And it was started by prisoners who were in Millhaven Prison. And what had happened was that there are prisoners who die all of the time in prison, but there were a couple of deaths that really impacted the prisoner population at Millhaven. One of them was the death of Eddie Nalon, who was a lifer who had died in solitary confinement. And Eddie had been thrown in the hole as a lifer. He knew he would be there for a set amount of time before there was a Seg Review Board hearing. And he had his hearing and was expecting to get out of Seg and wasn't told that he was going to be released. He slashed on the night of August 9th in protest and ended up bleeding to death, because in those cells they had a button on the wall that the prisoners could push to to alert the guards if there was any problems. And he pushed his button, there was no response. Other prisoners pushed their buttons and there was no response. And at the inquest into his death, it was determined that the buttons had been deactivated by the guards because they didn't want to be running down to SAG all the time. There was one more death that happened in that same unit, and it was the death of Bobby Landers. And Bobby Landers was a prisoners' rights activist. He had been in Archambault prison and was organizing with other prisoners to get better conditions in the prison, better food, better visits. And to break up that movement, they transferred him out from Quebec to Ontario and threw him in SEG. And so he was in solitary confinement at Millhaven and started having pains in his chest. He tried to get a nurse down to the unit by pushing the button, and no one came. He ended up dying of a heart attack. And at the inquest into his death, it was determined that those buttons had still not been repaired. And so prisoners at Millhaven decided they would go on this hunger strike and work stoppage to call attention to an apathetic system that lets people die. We usually have our banners here, and the banners have the names of the people that we know who've died in prison. There's over 1,000 names on them. We've just brought a small one because of the rain, and we could hang it up without getting it wet. And over the years, the names and the numbers of prisoners grow, and Sometimes it's people that you know, it's people who are active inside the prison and on the outside, and it's hard enough to organize around unpopular issues out in general society. For prisoners to organize, it's extremely difficult. You know, they don't just have to worry about rain or people not showing up. They have to worry about getting thrown in the hole for organizing, for involuntary transfers, for being cut off from their family, their friends, and their people. And so I think that it's a day that's important both inside and outside. And for us on the outside, it's always hard when we know prisoners' rights activists that pass away. And over the years, there's been a number. You know, a couple of years ago, it was Stuart Stonechild, who was really active, both bringing Native religious freedom into the prisons where it was, and on the outside, continuing to struggle for prisoners' rights. This year, we lost a really strong sister, Brenda Blondell, and today on the radio, I heard that there's a funeral for Donald Marshall, and he's one of those prisoners that never should have been. He did years on a wrong conviction, and so they're having his funeral in Nova Scotia today. So we'll say goodbye to him as well. So the first speaker that we're going to hear from today is Eddie Rouse. Eddie's a lifer who has been working for prisoners' rights, both inside and outside of the prison, for a really long time, and that's a good thing. Eddie.
Hello, and thank you for attending this 33rd year of Prisoners' Justice Day. It's hard to believe since 1975. I was at the BC Pen in 1976 when the first one went, but we didn't partake in it because we were in the middle of a riot that were going across Canada at that time. But in 1976, or 1977, that's when every prison across Canada and federal prisons took part in that. This day started out as a remembrance for those prisoners who have died while incarcerated in the Canadian prisons through negligence, violence, and apathy of and by the prison system and its administrators, the guards. Prior to the 1970s, the Canadian public was kept in ignorance of the conditions that prevailed in the concrete, steel, and stone fortresses of human warehouses across this land. The unnecessary deaths of prisoners in 1975 sparked the observation of this day by prisoners across Canada and has grown into an international movement. I and many other people here have made and lost many friends we've known over the past three decades, as you can see from the ever-expanding list of names printed on the banner behind me. And this is only a partial list, and it's continually growing. The first demonstration of solidarity by prisoners was greeted by indifference by the guards in Ontario. The next year, in 1977, Prison Justice Day swept across the country, and every prisoner in every federal prison went on a one-day fast and work stoppage to observe that day. For several years afterwards, prisoners were charged for not working or not eating and lost one day of remission, which didn't mean that much to people who were doing life sentences. Mental health and the lack of help around this is a big issue within the system today. Many prisoners are not having their needs addressed in the prison system and are being released without any supports to deal with them. Medical issues are following the U.S. example of user pay. How can a prisoner afford medical care when they can only make less than $10 a day? Many prisoners ended up involved in the legal system due to economic issues. Where are they supposed to get the money to pay for this? Many things have changed in the prisons across Canada since then, but the conditions that exist within and the treatment of prisoners reflects us as a society and how we care for each other. The lawmakers and administrators enabling draconian laws and policies eventually affect the public. The prisons are a testing ground for future laws that would strip every citizen of civil, legal, and human rights under the guise of security and public order. One of the most prominent bills at this time that's on the table is Bill C-15, which legislates the minimum sentencing for drugs. These laws were reversed as a bad experiment in the U.S. A number of years ago when they discovered there that they had to build more prison to house the influx of people who got caught under that legislation. This law is as bad as the Habitual Criminal Act, which put people in prisons for being a nuisance to the police in the 60s and 70s. It took years to get that law thrown out, but it damaged the persons caught in it for life, and many died as prisoners. There are many other issues that prevailed in the prison system and still prevail today. Aboriginal rights are one thing. Issues related to women in prison and the lack of help that the many of them get. In the early 1980s, the Butler brothers and a number of other people who were from the United States went on a hunger strike to force the correctional system to recognize Aboriginal rights and the religious things. It's only through people who are, or it's not only through people out inside, but this things like this would have never been enabled without people who, like Claire Culhane and other people who were involved with her, who are interested in looking at the human rights and civil rights of people caught inside. Claire was a activist long before prisoners' rights came around. She chained herself to Parliament Hill to protest Canadian involvement in Vietnam. The bench that's over here was inspired by a person who was did a number of years in Folsom. He was a Canadian prisoner. He'd grown up down there. Letters from Claire kept him sane, he said. He showed up at my doorstep in where I was working on Commercial Drive about a year and a half after Claire died, and was asking about her. And I told him that she had died, and which explained why he never got any more letters from her. And he wanted to do something that would remember her. And as a result, this bench was put up in her name. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. So one of the issues that we really want to talk about this year is the cancellation of the mother-child program at Alouette Correctional Center for Women. And Alouette is the BC provincial prison. It was opened up for women when BCCW, which was a joint provincial-federal prison here, closed down. And at the prison, they had a mother-child program. And what the mother-child program is if you were pregnant and when you were arrested and you gave birth to your baby at the jail, you could keep the baby with you at the jail until your release. And so this is women who are doing less than 2 year sentences. And in the BC Corrections, the programming at each of the prisons is at the discretion of the warden. They got a new warden in, and she canceled a lot of programs that were really good, but she also canceled the mother-child program. And what that means for women who give birth at the jail now is that the moment they give birth, the Ministry for Children and Families is there, and they apprehend the baby right from the hospital. The woman goes back to the jail without her baby, and when she gets out, she has to fight to get her baby back. And that usually involves a court case, and it can actually take years to get your child back. And some of the women who are losing their babies have like a month left on their sentence, some more, some less. But it is basically child apprehension. It doesn't have to happen like that. It hasn't been happening like that. And we really feel that it's important to have that mother and child program back. It's good for the mothers and it's good for the babies. There was a group of women who were going to come today. There were women who had done time at Alouette, and they were going to come and talk about the program, but they couldn't make it today. They're coming from out of town. They sent us a couple of statements to read on their behalf, and so I would like to invite Laura McElhinney, who's a longtime member of Joint Effort, to come up and read a statement from the group of women.
The group of women calls themselves Women Into Healing, and this is their statement. Approximately 66% of Canadian female inmates aged 19 to 34 years are mothers of children younger than 5 years old. In 2004, it was estimated that 25,000 Canadian children are being impacted by their mother's incarceration each year. The provision of supports to pregnant women and mothers with infants and young children is thus a key consideration for prison, hospital, and community-based services for incarcerated women. The Alouette Correctional Center for Women is a medium-security facility located in the Fraser Valley. 160 women are housed at ACCW at any given time, and approximately 1,500 women are incarcerated each year in BC for periods of less than 2 years. The average length of incarceration at ACCW is 3 months, and the majority of sentences are for non-violent drug-related offenses. The Mother and Baby Program at ACCW began in 2005 as a partnership between BC Corrections, the Ministry for Children and Family Development, and BC Women's Hospital for Square Combined Care Unit as the provider of medical care. The program allowed women who gave birth while incarcerated and who were otherwise deemed by MCFD to be willing and able to provide safe and appropriate parental care the opportunity to remain with their babies at ACCW. 13 babies were born to incarcerated mothers during the program's duration, 9 of whom stayed in prison until their mother's release. 15 months was the longest stay of any infant at ACCW. 8 of these babies delivered at BC Women's Hospital at First Square, 7 of whom were breastfed for the duration of their stay at ACCW. 7 of the 9 babies born to women at ACCW continue to live with their mothers. 1 baby is in the care of its father, and 1 is in provincial care. In April 2008, the ACCW Mother and Baby Program was canceled. Corrections spokesperson Lisa Lapointe has noted publicly that our staff are not trained to supervise infants and they're not trained in infant first aid or anything. If something went wrong and we didn't respond appropriately, we just couldn't risk putting an infant in that situation. Prison officials have also expressed concern that providing the opportunity to women who gave birth while in prison to remain with their infants is potentially unfair to others who have small children who did not give birth while in custody. This story was covered heavily in the BC media during the week of August 11th to 15th, 2008. Currently, children born to mothers at ACCW and all other provincial correctional facilities are either placed with a relative or in foster care under the guardianship of MCFD. This is not the case for mothers who give birth while in federal prison, who are still able to remain with their babies if they meet strict eligibility requirements. It is the opinion of the majority of prison health researchers, prison social workers, the prison doctor who worked at ACCW, staff from the Fir Square Combined Care Unit, community workers who interacted with the program, and British Columbia's representative for child and youth, among others, that the ACCW mother and baby program was highly beneficial to the health and social outcomes of both the mothers and babies who went through it. They and the women themselves believe that the program directly contributed to high levels of post-release success seen in the mothers who participated in the program. These successes have been measured in part by low recidivism rates, reduction or elimination of problematic substance use, and community reintegration of mothers and their children. While it is necessary in a small minority of cases to remove a newborn for reasons of immediate safety, this is not the case for the majority of incarcerated mothers. The evidence available suggests that alternatives to the mother and baby program proposed by the BC corrections officials, such as increasing regular visits, is not an adequate replacement for the mother and child attachments. Daily visits do not provide a substitute. Jennifer, a former inmate at ACCW, gave birth to Sierra at Fir Square and took her baby back to ACCW in 2007. She describes prison as the safest place for me, and that having my daughter gave me something to live for and something to care for. Jennifer goes on to say, "It breaks my heart to know that the mother and baby program is canceled. Personally, I think if that program wasn't available to me, that Sierra would be God knows where with who knows who, and I'd be on the street like I was using." Jennifer currently lives in the community with 2-year-old Sierra. She is working as a research assistant, a mother to Sierra, as well as a spokesperson that advocates on behalf of the Mothers and Baby Program. Jen is also a member of the coalition Women Into Healing. Women Into Healing is a group of formerly incarcerated women that work towards supporting each other in successful integration. They are scattered across BC and meet weekly to discuss health goals that originated inside the gates of Alouette. And they have a website, which you can probably Google. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. And we would now invite up Sarah Rauch and Sarah's legal counsel working with prisoners.
It's an honor to be here. I heard there was an eagle circling above. So, and it's an honor to have the opportunity to work with so many strong people. I've been working as legal counsel for prisoners for about 7 years. I've learned a lot from mentors professionally, but most of all I've learned from the people inside. We are co-counsel on the litigation challenging the mother baby program cancellation at ACCW, and the legal system is limited, very slow. We're talking now about setting trial dates in fall or even winter 2010. In the meantime, there's no program. So we have to keep pushing, we have to keep speaking together, and we have to keep honoring each other in this fight for freedom inside the prisons. And there's this pressure from public and others that one loses freedom when they go to jail, but that shouldn't be the case. They've already lost their freedom. Liberty is what they've already lost, so there shouldn't be a further punishment. The women who are losing the opportunity to have their children and their young babies with them are losing further liberty to be able to bond and care for their children. But also, think of the babies. The babies are losing the opportunity to bond with their mothers. And as we know, that's just one example of what happens in this whole scheme of inside, outside, often oppression that we need to keep pushing up against. I also just want to take a moment to honor Brenda Blondell. And that's it. Thanks again.